This is 88.9 FM, Neighborhood Public Radio. My name is Zephyr, and you're listening to Frank Prattle. We got some excellent programming up. We got some hot guests in here. It's really the apex of the art world going on, in my personal estimation, that is, definitely. We've got Jessica Silverman, the owner and curator, I assume, of yes. Silverman Gallery.
Yes.
Justin Hoover, who is the who runs the garage and the Garage Biennale.
Hello, nice to be here. Thank you.
And Dina Pugh, who is half of Triple Bass Gallery and the Mission.
Yes, hi. Thanks.
So today we're going to be talking a bit about a new community organization. I would call it
a new alliance.
Alliance, what mm-hmm. have you?
Yeah.
That's forming on the 3rd Street corridor in San Francisco.
Correct.
And that's called RAIL, no?
Yes. It's called RAIL, and it was initially begun by myself, Jessica Silverman at Silverman Gallery, and Ann Colvin at Tartt Gallery, Bruno at Ampersand, and another gallery, Ping Pong. And so it started as a geographically based alliance to create a map in an area that was sort of lacking an art scene or was lacking the identification of an art scene.
Right.
And so now we're working on expanding, and Triple Bass was one of the first galleries outside of the 3rd Street corridor that we found ourselves looking towards.
So, Dina, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Triple Bass thinks of this RAIL?
Well, I know I was really excited when Jessica and the rest of RAIL came to us, because I've, for a long time, been thinking that it's really important to make a connection with other galleries in the city and work together, similarly to how other galleries in Williamsburg, Culver City, Chinatown have kind of organized, made a map, do events together. And so I've been thinking a lot about that, and recently there was a mission map made by Receiver Gallery. So there have been various efforts by different institutions to kind of bring galleries together, but this it seems like a really exciting idea that I think Jessica can talk more specifically about, but it's bringing together galleries with really similar vision for their space.
Right.
So.
And Justin, what are your kind of thoughts on that?
Well, I love to see the community mobilization aspect of it. I mean, that's wonderful to see groups of people getting together for, one cause, and it's real great for, in terms of the organizations, to get together, leverage resources. You know, it's really easy for people to, then it's easier for everybody to have a larger voice as a whole. And personally, with the garage, for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been kind of moving in the direction as well of getting involved other institutions instead of just individuals. So it's interesting that these developments are cropping up in different areas in the city, and hopefully we'll see some parallel movements.
Right. And one of the things that when we started RAIL, the members looked at a handful of artist-run galleries that opened in San Francisco during 1950 and 1960, which were known specifically as the Beat Generation galleries. And it was a movement of sort of communal breakthrough that happened on Fillmore Street with the Sixth Gallery, and before that, King Ubu Gallery. So looking at this sort of...
And just for the listening audience, are these galleries still around? Or?
No, they're not around. And they were these types of galleries that really didn't have opening hour or have hours. There were opening parties. The Sixth Gallery is most well known for the first place where Allen Ginsberg read Howell. So they have a lot of historic importance. However, they were just very minute sort of steps into, the larger San Francisco arts community. But they're really important because of the kind of mutual encouragement and inspiration that was brought about by them. And that was happening not only within the art scene as it was being thought of then as painters, but also in the literary world, performance world. So it was bridging all these sort of diverse arts, practices. And I think that's something that RAIL is also very interested in. Tartt Gallery, for instance, has a very international focus and works a lot with performance artists and video artists. And Ampersand specifically has a literary program that sort of goes side by side with the, you know, fine arts program that they have happening. So,
so one of the questions I kind of have when groups, you know, as Dina was mentioning, mm-hmm. in, you know, Williamsburg or, you know, places like this, and start up a community alliance, mm-hmm. what have you, of art galleries.
Yeah.
What are the kind of responsibilities of those galleries to, you know, reflect not only the community that they're, you know, working with kind of, mm-hmm. on a day-to-day basis, you know, who might be art buyers or art viewers, but actually the people who have already lived there for, you know, let's say, you know, 20 to 50 years or something like that.
So, right.
You know, in regards to rail, like, are you planning on working with that community there, or are you hoping more to bring people in, you know, from Pack Heights and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think that is important to bring people from Pacific Heights, of course, down to 3rd Street. I think that the opening of the light rail on 3rd Street is, that was sort of what sparked rail in the first place. The opening of this light rail, people are going to be able to come to this area maybe a bit easier, you know, for people who only bike and don't drive. But we really saw it as an open invitation to the San Francisco arts community.
Well, I have to say that I really do think that people in San Francisco are people too, and they need to be included as well, which is one of the reasons why the garage is such an interesting location, interesting set of people, is that it does a lot of mixing of different areas in San Francisco. So we'll have the we'll have specifically San Francisco
people. Just a sec.
We'll have specifically Pacific Heights San Franciscans, and then we'll mix that up with people around the Bay, Oakland, Berkeley as well, and we're looking into some more connections through China right now, actually Beijing and Shanghai, with some key people. So hopefully we're looking at that kind of international mobilization as well.
I mean, but, you know, Dina, do you care to address kind of that? Like, for instance, you are on 24th Street.
Right.
We're getting a little feedback. Hold on, crew. There you go. Should be good. You're on 24th Street, which is an incredibly diverse neighborhood. I mean, it's crazy there.
Yeah.
You know, no arguing the fact that it's probably one of the most culturally filled streets in the world. And how does your gallery kind of respond to that?
It's
some of the similarities and differences between rail. Yeah.
Well, it's something we've thought about a lot, because the Mission is this kind of hotbed of gentrification since, you know, the kind of beginning of, you know, the 2000s. And now that's starting to extend on a 3rd Street. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that we think about a lot, kind of as someone that's part of the promotion. Like, art galleries and artists are part of the promotion of that gentrification, but at the same time end up being the victims of that gentrification at the same time when the area gets really, you know, the rents get hiked up, you know, we get kicked out. So it's something we think about a lot and we consider in our programming and the way we approach events that spill out onto the street. And, you know, we try to make our, you know, our hours and our shows very accessible because we have a storefront location. It's, you know, but I think for the most part, we get really positive response from the neighborhood. People come in and are like, this is so exciting. It feels like, you know, the village before, you know, gentrification there. So, and it seems like an exciting time right now, but we definitely think about the possibility of things kind of taking a turn.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the building right next door to me is actually the San Francisco Art Institute's studio. So that being on one side, and then on the other side are a slew of condominiums that are being built, waterfront condominiums. And so obviously rail is right in the middle of this gentrification that Dina's talking about. However, I've also received very positive feedback, and it's actually brought a lot of people out of the woodwork who no one really knew were there. So now the Noonan building, once again, I think, you know, is having a much more known presence, which is down at the, for those who don't know, down at the end of 20th, and there's some frame shops down there and artist studios that have been there since, like, the 90s. And so it's bringing a lot of people out of the woodwork who have been in the arts community already in the area, but maybe just we're also a bit nervous about the sort of changes happening.
Right.
Yeah.
So you all come from a more, I wouldn't say necessarily high-powered sales perspective, you know? That you definitely...
That's funny. That's not possible in San Francisco.
maybe start with Silverman Gallery. What are you really going for? What kind of art do you think is good art? I mean, are you looking across the ocean? You got people, you know, in France and, you know, Mozambique you're bringing over? Or are you looking more here?
I'm looking elsewhere, personally. Not because I don't believe in the San Francisco arts community or the artists working here. But I think there are a lot of amazing galleries that do work with a lot of locally based artists. And so one of the things that Silverman aims to do is have a more international program, bring artists from all over, specifically artists who have not yet had solo exhibitions. In line with that, Silverman is also really interested in working with visiting artists and curators that are coming through San Francisco. So, for instance, mid-May, we'll be doing a program with visiting curator Mizuki Endo, who's from Japan and has opened a few spaces there, one called Rhythm and the other called Art Space Tetra. So just sort of capitalizing on this international presence that is coming through here already. And currently we are showing a San Francisco-based artist, Job Piston, and the show will be up through April 10th, and then another exhibition April 20th with a Los Angeles-based artist. So, you know, there's a lot of things happening in the area, but my program is, doing solo shows with artists who really haven't had a lot of exposure in San Francisco.
All right.
Yeah, and I think, well, Triple Bass, first of all, the mission is definitely to support local artists and further the local art scene here. But Joyce Grimm, who's my partner, and I strongly believe that that can only happen once these artists are put in a wider context, and that, you know, people from elsewhere see them, notice them, and are, you know, we're doing shows with artists from elsewhere to kind of get out of this like provincial mindset. I think a lot of what makes people think that there's not, you know, from outside of San Francisco, think that there's not a lot going on here is that we kind of keep to ourselves a little too much and, you know, expect the world to come to us. So I think one of the points of doing this coalition is that we're showing that we want to put ourselves out there. We want to invite people in. It's not this kind of insular
glass
kind of club
wall.
You know, where, so I think that, you know, that's definitely part of our mission, is to engage in a wider international context, but in the means of promoting local artists. I think that's our first and foremost goal.
Yeah, and Dina, I think you're very right. I think that Chuo Base does a great job of inviting people in to be part, and I really like that in the gallery down there. Jessica, you know, I'm really excited to see what's going to be coming down with Rail, too. Mm-hmm. And I know that personally with the garage over the last 3 or 4 years, the indicators of our success has been degree of community mobilization, number of partnerships annually, you know. So we're really, like, getting out there, and we're not trying to make things happen that we want. We're basically going out there and doing, like, needs assessments and saying, hey, what do people want to get done, and how can we help as a community to get that going, you know? So, for instance, as just, like, a short example of that, my friend May is facing some legal challenges because she's being deported because of administrative error. And all of a sudden, I got approached with 10 people who were a committee that had designed a fundraiser, an arts-based fundraiser for her. So all of a sudden, within 2 weeks, we threw this together, and now the garage is putting together this fundraiser for her, which is on next Saturday at the garage, March 31st. So that's a very interesting example of how people can just mobilize and then use the community that's in place to get things going and get the ball rolling.
Right.
Very interesting kind of play right there.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's great, especially, you know, considering the lack of health care, et cetera, in America right now, or, you know,
social services
for people, you know, accidentally getting deported and crazy shit like that.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm gonna come down on something, and this is a question for all of you guys. When you talk about community, and you talk about really engaging the community and, you know, working with, you know, a neighborhood that you're already, you know, that your gallery's located at, or, you know, that artists come from, What's the difference between that, like having a strong dialogue, and having just the crazy motherfucker with a steel drum beating on, you know, the shit outside of your gallery all day and calling it art, you know? Or, you know, do you guys draw any line to that? Like, what's bad art?
Okay, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, and I think I can address that with a little anecdote. And in the last Biennale, I got a recommendation from John Rubin to use one of the pavilions to highlight this one artist. And so I gave him the chance, and he decided to install a moped gang called the Creatures of the Loin. And that was a very interesting situation because that really literally was just 30 moped bikes revving in the garage in Pacific Heights, which in and of itself is a very interesting relationship between bringing in that kind of like hood rat, international, no home, vagabond person and bring them into like this monstrosity of like Pacific Heights. You know, there's a definite duality there that can be addressed by the relocation of a moped gang for an extended period of time into like a very, what is known as, what is conventionally termed an elitist neighborhood. So off the bat, that's interesting. But then there really wasn't a lot of substance behind that. And it turned out to just be like this happening that ended up with this punk rock concert in Pacific Heights in this hot cement gallery garage. And then they ended up being kicked out by my mom. So that was like the ultimate, being like culmination of them, is that they had to break past that acceptability line and they had to force it to happen. So it was like almost validating for them to have that happen, even though it caused a lot of animosity between us, Right. So, you know, there is a real fine line between what is good, what is bad, and how to do that. And I think that's the role of the curator in to make that decision as a steward of the dissemination of culture and as an expert in the phenomenology of exhibition.
And I also had something to add that we recently at Triple Bass had this Bring Your Own Art show.
Right.
And Danny Minnick, who's an artist in San Francisco, I think he just moved, but he invited anyone and everyone off Craigslist, or he just advertised it very widely, to come and put up artwork, come and perform, read poetry. I mean, it was the widest cross-section, discerning, no curating, judging good or bad. And as an installation, it was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen, mm-hmm. all of it, you know, together. So I don't think, you know, Triple Bass is not trying to say that we are like, you know, the ones who should decide good or bad, but it is our mission to work with artists devoted to being artists and to building a career and an art practice and pushing those artists. So I think we want to work more like one-on-one with artists to further that. And I just think it depends what your mission is. So I don't think it really works to be like everything to everybody. A lot of cultural institutions in the city become really bland because they're trying to achieve that and please everybody and be so democratic. And I think it's more interesting if each of us have a specific mission, and like Jessica concentrates on these other artists and other galleries concentrate on this kind of artist, or it just creates a more dynamic, specific art scene.
Well, so Jessica, yes. When you guys are forming Rail, you know, because mm-hmm. it's an ongoing process right now, right?
Yeah. Currently, the map that we have, which is available at all of our galleries, and we'll drop some off here at Southern Exposure, consists of indicating the first four galleries that were, the first galleries that started Rail. However, we're working on the second map that will have a larger scale, expand to Triple Bass, to the garage, and talk more diversely about what Rail can be.
That's what I really like about Rail, is that it's began with a physical, a physical location and a physical community, and it's kind of evolved a little bit from my understanding of it, and maybe Jessica could speak more of this, but to embrace a conceptual community and embrace like a community that's self-defining. Mm-hmm. And so when you say, like, when you're asking who is the community, is the guy who's banging the drum? Yeah, if the guy who's banging the drum has substance to it and wants to put that substance out there and present it as something meaningful to him in a way that would work with the collective, I mean, I think that might be interesting to see how evolution might occur.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, at the gallery, we invited a Montreal collective called Dandy Wind, who performed there on March 3rd. And so we're also doing a series of programming that brings in sort of performance groups, both locally and internationally. And it's really interesting to see the different types of audiences that come to, you know, an exhibition like that or an event like that, as opposed to, you know, a curated exhibition. Very different types of audiences. And that's one thing that sort of Rail is identifying in these spaces, is that their programming does both of these things. They have exhibitions that speak, you know, to an arts audience, but also are really interested in sort of crossover and the different kinds of audiences, both locally in their neighborhood and elsewhere.
I thought you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the kind of how, for some reason, the idea of like the emerging artist community isn't, for some reason, accepted as a community, and I don't really understand why. When we have like the most artists per capita of any city in the U.S., why can't, you know, artists like sacrificing, living, you know, on peanuts, you know, to sacrifice
beans
some time
rice,
to make
I
their
think.
Artwork, sorry?
Beans and rice.
Beans and rice, yeah. Burrito, the super burrito. It's a staple. But, you know, I just think that, you know, they deserve just as much attention and organizations supporting them than, you know, other groups of community that, you know, have other support as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you guys want to talk about that? I mean, that's a pretty big issue right there is, you know, kind of the nature of, like, transitory nature of artists, you know, not necessarily being families that stay in one place for, you know, 20, 30, 50 years, but more along the lines of, you know, somebody who stays in a flat for maybe a summer and then moves on.
But it's so transitory in the city, especially because there's no support in, you know, financial support for artists. While there are a lot of nonprofits and foundations giving grants to other nonprofits, I don't think that artists feel like there's a means for them to, you know, there's enough of support for them to stay because of there's no commercial market for their artwork. So I don't think it would be so transitory if we could actually build something that gave them a reason to stay.
Right, and at the last Rail meeting, we had talked about, you know, what happened if there was, you know, a sort of larger scale art event here. Mm-hmm. You know, that
I.e. like a, you know...
Like a fair.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just...
A fair...
Yeah.
And would the Garage Biennale
the
doesn't
garage
count?
Biennale? Yeah. What is that? Peanuts. We're rice and beans, man. We're rice
yeah,
and beans.
Yeah, just a larger Garage Biennale.
Well, that's exactly what we're looking at. I mean, this sense of mobilization of different constituents in this, in the community is beautiful. And I think that the role, the growing role of institutions locally in San Francisco and internationally, rising role of nonprofits, I think this is all pointing towards the need right here to do exactly that. Just develop a group to get together and, you know, make something bigger, whether it's the Garage Biennale that, you know, people decide, hey, let's blow this up, or let's, you know, start something new, or, you know, whatever. It's good. We just got to get the people involved and get the institutionalization of it from within, from the people, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, at the last Rail meeting, someone brought up, maybe it was Dina, talking about how in Portland they hijacked a bus during a sort of legitimate art fair and used that bus in the sort of collector base and the people that were going to this quote-unquote legitimate art fair to take them to these sort of off spaces, which, you know, one could argue are actually more interesting anyway. So to also, you know, look around what's happening at California College of Arts, what's happening at SFAI, what's happening, you know, at the museums, who's in town, who's visiting, who can we kind of hijack? And, you know, maybe Dina can just mention their new series, the dinner lecture series. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, yeah, it's kind of related. But I was just going to say that I think that probably the reason we haven't really established or, you know, gotten that many collectors in San Francisco to come to the galleries and art, because I think collectors in San Francisco, where they're far and few between, tend to buy work from outside of San Francisco. I think it's because we've failed to develop a really exciting art scene because we all kind of work separately or maybe don't work hard enough to generate excitement by all working together. So I think that's what it's trying to change. And the dinner lecture is a series that we're putting together at an offsite venue, but related to what we're doing at Triple Base, where we take visiting scholars, artists, lecturers, and have them present while we have a very like family-style meal and encourage conversation around certain themes and topics that we're developing also at the gallery space. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that could also tie into these events that we do, people that are coming through town to feature them.
And we had also talked about, you know, sort of talking to the people at the Headlands and, you know, the artists who come through there and maybe giving them an off-site space to do a lecture at or come talk to and giving tours and things like that.
That sounds great. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think we're about out of time, but...
Thank you.
I'd like if you guys could give maybe the website for Rail and maybe you guys' individual spaces, the websites for that, so people listening along can, you know, log on in and check out.
Yeah, if you want more information on Rail, you can go to railsf.blogspot.com, and there's going to be a map that you can actually download soon. And again, April 7th is the launch of Rail's first action, which will then be a regularly scheduled art walk. And so the openings that are happening are at Triple Bass, Ping Pong, Ampersand, Tart, and Silverman. So please come check those out. And Justin?
Yeah, at the Garage, you can access the information at garagebiennale.com. So spelled like the Venice Biennale. So Garage, B-I-E-N-N-A-L-E. And our next event is on March 31st at 7 o'clock. Auction... Silent auction, raffle, and a jazz concert.
And Triple Bass's website is www.bassbassbass.com. And so Jessica mentioned our next opening is April 7th. It's a show about graphology and artists. So we'll be analyzing the handwriting of several interesting contemporary artists.
I hear you'll have an expert on hand as well.
An expert on hand?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Me? No.
No.
Oh, yes, our 80-year-old graphologist from L.A., Suzanne Shapiro, will be doing the analysis. She's amazing. And she'll also be our guest at our first dinner lecture series, which will be the 29th, towards the end of the run of the show. So that'll be a very small environment. So if you're interested in that, email us at triplebass@gmail.com because it'll be the first 20 people who are interested. And then I have to plug, because I'm on my lunch break from Jack Hanley Gallery, that we're having an opening for Keegan McCarg on Friday, April 6th. So come check that out, too.
Hi, Jack. Well, thank you all so much.
Thank you, Zephyr.
I've been on with Jessica Silverman, Justin Hoover, and Dina Pugh, who are all very active members of the San Francisco arts community. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks.
Thanks, Zephyr.
Thank you.
Thank you.